This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Nailed It, All Things Construction. I am Debbie Deal, flying solo today. Leonard Zanz and another one of our board members, Brent Burroughs II, are in Las Vegas at the International Builders Show. So they're sending us pictures and trying not to look like they're having way too much fun. But this is going to be a great show. With me, I have another board member who's been on two or three times, Avery Lightbourne. He's going to be, I guess, my sidekick.
Yes, definitely.
And then, you know, Leonard and I have spoken many times since September when this thing started about how the construction industry is all tied in together with all of the different trades and all of the different I'm not going to call it a trade, but the
expertise.
The expertise, the architects, engineers, electricians, everybody has to tie in to make the job work and to work properly. And we've talked about wanting to have an architect on the show, and we're lucky enough today to have an architect on the show. We have Carlos Hepburn, who has joined us, and we're just going to have a conversation with him. Avery, before the show started, Avery had asked him a question. I think maybe we might even just continue on with that. But welcome, Carlos, and if you'd like to introduce yourself and say something about, you know, what you do and how long you've been doing and all that stuff, and then we can go forward from there.
Right. Good afternoon, and thank you, Debbie and Avery, for having me on the show tonight. Can you hear me? All right. Appreciate the opportunity. And I'm always excited when we do get the opportunity to actually share any information about the exciting field of architecture, right? I'm very passionate about the profession. I've been doing this. I think I graduated in 95, and so I've wanted to contribute. Shortly after I graduated, I came home, was eager to get into the work, all right? And so I've been doing architecture from then, so a few years, I would say. Mm-hmm. And that's allowed me to see and to participate in a lot of different project types, right? And I suppose I can't devalue the importance of experience. School was great. Having the ability to explore and be creative was very exciting. But then also having to then practice that in the real world and tie that, having to be creative within the constraints of budgets and all of the other impacts that the construction industry, it places on the design field, was very exciting. But here we are, and like I said, I'm very excited about participating and sharing more and more about what architecture is about, what we do. That's, and how we can contribute to the built environment.
Right, that's great, because truthfully, the architect sees the project before anybody else.
Primarily.
Yeah, because the architect has the conversation with the client, mm-hmm. right, as to what they actually want and how they think they would like it done. And then you guide them through the process, and then you're generally there the entire way through the job.
We should.
Yeah, you should be.
We should be.
You should be.
That's not an ideal environment. That's mm-hmm. how it should be done. And most of those projects, those are projects that actually probably have the best outcome. Mm-hmm. And the vision of the owner, developer, whoever's the person initiating the design process, most of the times that's where they'll get their best result and have that final deliverable. But unfortunately, some people don't understand the importance that an architect plays in that process.
Right.
And so sometimes they have the cart in front of the horse, and they end up with a lot of issues.
Right.
And sometimes they end up either over budget, you know, and some persons feel going to the contractor first is the first step. But, you know, if they do come to us, that's at TDG Architects, we will definitely steer them in the right direction, kind of lay out a roadmap mm-hmm. for how the process is done. And if we get the time tonight, we can do that as well, share for the general public so that they'll know what they should expect.
That would be amazing.
When visiting an architect, mm-hmm. what they should expect during the construction process, so that they can ensure that whoever they go to, all right, is at least following that roadmap in some way or form.
Right. I think what's happened in the industry, and if you've been listening to the show, we talk a lot about how we're trying to fix the link between the client and the contractor, because there's so many problems that actually arise nowadays. And there's so many jobs that do not finish because either the client fires the contractor or the contractor walks off the job. Mm-hmm. And again, like you said, it's more than likely because there's no understanding of what really needs to go on with the project, right? So mm-hmm. it's very important. I think that the general public who just wants to build a house, you know, looks in a magazine and sees a picture and then they just want to build the house. They really don't understand the many years that you guys have taken to educate yourself, to become experts in the field, and understand the entire process of construction mm-hmm. to eliminate all of the problems that cause. Like one lady called and she was so upset because the contractor had built, when she went to look at the roof was like a 6-12 pitch is what it was supposed to be, mm-hmm. but it was like a 1-12 pitch and the roof was completed. Mm-hmm. I mean, so these are the kind of things that the general public does not really understand. So having you here is just amazing. So yeah, go ahead with what you would do.
I'd like to ask a question.
Oh, go ahead.
Why wouldn't they want the expert or the person who, I mean, what would be the reasons? Is it cost to have the architect come in? Let's just say, do you have packages where, okay, we'll come in at this stage or that stage that you can offer them that, I mean, if it's cost associated, or at what levels would the architect want to be a part of that process?
Okay, well, I believe historically is where our problem is, and we're somewhat a fairly young nation, right? And the field of architecture, we actually we were not regulated from licensing until about 1994, I think, is when the act was actually established for architects.
Uh-huh. So you had lucky.
Right. Well, I mean, you said lucky, but tentatively, mm-hmm. what has happened is prior to that, mm-hmm. You had a lot of persons operating in the industry, non-professionals, persons who may not have gone off to school, had mm-hmm. formal training, a lot of draftspersons, and these are not to knock draftspersons. Draftspersons are a support to the architects. Mm-hmm. I always compare it to the medical industry. It's somewhat like a nurse and a doctor, mm-hmm. right? And most people don't appreciate the difference because they weren't forced to. Mm-hmm. So when one needed a home or needed some other project built, the industry was fairly open to where someone would just hire someone who said you could, and you get that general comment. You know, people say, I need one blueprint. They call it blueprint, right? And the reason for the blueprint had nothing to do, the reference was the way that the documents were copied. They used an ammonia product to actually turn the sheets, the yellow sheets, into blue. And that's where that idea of the blueprint grew, right? Mm-hmm. And then, or someone to just say, draw plans. I need some plans done. And everything is a plan. But, you know, when you do see a proper set of construction documents, it does not only consist of a plan. all right? Mm-hmm. There are sections and details and so many other components that make up a proper set of documents. So historically, I think as a general populace, we just did not, a lot of people just didn't know, and they had alternatives. After the bill was enacted, obviously there wasn't a blanket rush on the industry. People had to get acclimated to understand exactly what this meant. And obviously, as professionals, there's also a cost, right? Mm-hmm. And so obviously a doctor is not the same cost as a nurse practitioner, right? But because the medical industry was regulated so much longer, it was generally already in the psyche of a person that a person would not go to a nurse to have a medical procedure performed. Don't mm-hmm. care what they say, right? Just like how a draftsperson could probably convince you, you know, let's take on this cost and I can draw it, and mm-hmm. they're drawing at home on their dining room table or whatever, right? Or they're even not, right now, they're not regulated to the point that they may have a professional license and a degree, all right? Because in our industry, you have to have at least 5 years of professional training, or a master's degree, and then you take an exam after 2 years of practicing. Mm-hmm. So you will intern after those 2 years. So generally, the mm-hmm. average person who is a professional architect has at least 7 years in, and that's if he passes his exam during that first year. If he fails it, he may have the... Yeah, if he fails it, it may be longer, right? And there are some architects out there who might have been 9 years before, 10 years, or 12 years before they actually became licensed architects. Mm-hmm. So it's not an easy road, right? I won't get into what we have to do in the whole training and preparation process during school. But like I said, it's a professional industry just like the medical field. But because the medical field or even the legal profession, in fact, the legal profession is so properly wound up and integrated into the whole commerce of society that you can't get anything really done unless you secure a lawyer. I can't even, in some cases, unless it's a magistrate case, I can't even defend myself. If it's a Supreme Court, correct, I have to get an attorney. The court doesn't even recognize me, right? Mm-hmm. And so in those instances, the legal profession is almost guaranteed its work, right?
Correct.
The medical profession, similarly. But the difference with the medical profession is persons are now dealing with their own physical body, so they tend to not want to take a risk, even though a nurse say, hey, I did the same courses as the doctor. Right. You know, I went to them same classes, and I could probably, you know, I can tell you, okay, you know what, they understand the body, and they know what medicines and what drugs they could probably give you. Fortunately, the pharmacy won't allow them to because they control that, right? Mm-hmm. They won't, unless you have a prescription by a medical practitioner or doctor. So, you know, there's certain controls that allow the medical profession to operate as professions. Mm-hmm. Professionals, right? We didn't have that same type of assurity or support from the industry. And so it was open season. So you now have a regulated professional competing against an untrained person, okay, without that same level of experience, that is able to convince the general public that I can deliver this product for you at a fraction of the price of what an architect would charge. So first of all, the industry feels, oh, these guys are just overcharging, they're raping me, I can go to this person and get the same thing done. But 9 times out of 10, they're not going to get what an architect does because they do not understand what we do. Okay, so I can walk you through the process, but in principle, that's where our challenge originally has been. And I think as we're becoming a more educated populace, and as persons get good service from architects, right, that then they're able to share that experience with other persons.
Correct.
And there are the industry and those players in the market are also coming on board to demanding that professionals participate in the process. And you know, a big influence on that is the banks, right?
Correct.
The banking institution, they never demanded that certain professionals participate in the process. You got a set of plans, they approved, that's all they were interested in.
Right.
Now they're more concerned, who's your architect? Can he review a proper payout? Can he review construction process, right? And oversee and provide a report as to the progress of works, right? Can he ensure that we're getting quality, that we're getting what we're paid for, all right, against the value of that cost? And so the banks now are tired of losing monies and ending up with a lot of incompleted projects and that are just sitting on their books, and they're now recognizing the value of having professionals participate in that process.
So now you see the issue that we have as contractors.
No doubt.
You know, because now we are, the act is passed. We can't get the board to, well, we have not been able to successfully get them to choose the board so that we could actually register and license contractors. We, it would be the same kind of thing, except Leonard did go to school for construction. I did not.
Right.
So, but it's a two-year period where you get trained and you take courses to learn the trade, and at the end you have to take an exam, and if you don't pass, you don't get your license. If you do pass, you do.
Correct.
So it's the same kind of thing, and it's a learning thing.
Yep.
But right now we don't have that. We have a business license that says Joe Blow's Building Company, right?
Mm-hmm.
But all it is a $150 piece of paper, right?
Right.
So
right.
That's our issue, and that's why after you've done everything that you've done, that's when some of the problems come in, and we need that rectified so that we don't, so that we're actually able to do a great job with what you have designed for
right.
the person or the client to do whatever function it is, whether it's going to be a corporate building, whether it's going to be a retail building or a home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the problems that we're at now. We're at the stage that you were at, I guess, before 1995, right? Something like that.
When our industry was fighting for that.
Yes.
Right. And because we saw the problems in the industry,
mm-hmm.
right? And the industry was also cognizant of the fact that there were persons who might have been very good tradespeople
mm-hmm.
who were in the industry for years that had experience. Like I say, you can't devalue the importance of experience.
Right.
And so just like how you say you may not have been tertiary, may not have had that tertiary training in construction, that doesn't negate the fact that you could have experience
mm-hmm.
and understand the built environment. And then obviously you can always hire the missing components of what you need, if you need quantity surveyors or project managers, et cetera, to fill those areas of your business.
Right.
But the architecture industry in some respects had that same type of hurdle. There were a lot of senior persons in the field who had experience, but may have had only a certificate, may not have had the opportunity to go off to school, but may have been practicing for a certain amount of years. So they made provisions for those persons through a
grandfathering. That's what we're doing as well.
So they grandfathered those persons.
Yep.
Yeah.
They did a review of those persons' competency and their work and tested them, and then they provided an avenue for grandfathering into either becoming an architect or they provided, I think it was a secondary tier called technicians,
okay.
right? And those technicians might have been, they may have had levels of competency in the field, but they may not have been suited, let's say, to do a multi-story building. They didn't have that level of training. So they had limitations placed on them.
Right.
And so that's how, in essence, you know, it's not easy making an omelet. You have to break a few eggs, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it was an effort, all right, to regulate the industry for the protection of the public, because our role in this process is to protect the public and to protect our clients.
So think of this: I'm a contractor.
Mm-hmm.
I have to hire a licensed architect,
mm-hmm.
a licensed engineer,
mm-hmm.
a licensed plumber, a licensed electrician, but I'm not licensed.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? You know, it's. Now that I've heard the struggle that you went through when, mm-hmm. you know, what the industry went through,
right.
it sounds exactly like what we're doing, what we're going through now, but for some reason we're not able to get the government to take that next step and understand the value of what's going on. Because you can look at a lot of government projects and see that whoever was doing that mm-hmm. really did not know what they were doing.
That's
Avery,
right.
you were going to say something and
I interrupted.
I apologize.
No, that's okay. I was just interested in what he was saying as far as the architect having the role of walk. I'm still stuck on the fact that if I already went to my architect, first of all, how do you engage the architect? I want an architect, but I don't know what house I'm in. What is the first steps that I have to bring to the architect? When I say I want an architect,
okay.
what
just
is
like
the first
you go
thing
to
you're
a doctor,
ask
you go to the doctor and
say, what's wrong?
You go to the doctor.
I want a house.
But you
go to a doctor for an annual,
right,
and then at the end of the day, right? So basically, it's the same thing. You
but
go to an architect.
In some
and
respect, there's one critical component
mm-hmm.
that influences a decision.
Money.
Right? One is what does the person, what is their budget?
Mm-hmm. Money, yeah.
Significant,
okay.
Right?
Because so you can have budget.
Persons, the biggest mistake for some persons is they may just have aspirations. They have a big dream.
Mm-hmm.
And why you have this kind of this calamity between the contractor and the owner is often because an architect is not there to put that in the right perspective, right? To bring mm-hmm. that to reality. So I always use this analogy, and this helps people kind of envision the process. So you've ever seen a little cartoon with the little balloon, the little bubble and the cloud on
yes.
the head, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if somebody is thinking, right? You got a picture or something. And then, so when someone has a dream project, whatever that may be, if that is a home. So let's simplify it to just a residence, right? To a residence. And so I have this dream to build this home. And if you could see in their mind, right? That little cloud, they got a picture of something. I would almost guarantee you, 9 times out of 10, if you look at in the contractor's mind, there's two different pictures.
Yeah.
Two of them, and most of the times people mm-hmm. sign a contract where he is envisioning this, and this person is envisioning this. You have to have a problem. Because at the end of the day, when this project comes out of the ground, it's not going to look like what this person is envisioning. So the architect was there, in essence, to bring that, take that vision from that person's mind and bring that to on paper so that the contractor can see this is what this person envisioned, and that's what we do during that design process. So a person would come to us. First of all, they have to know what is their budget.
Go to the bank first.
Yes.
So your first
right?
place
your
is
first
go
base
with,
is
find
to
out
find
what you could qualify.
What you qualify for. I make
okay.
a certain amount of money as okay. I do this. Some people have savings.
So qualify.
I save this amount of money. I have this to contribute as equity into my home. Whatever. Right?
So it makes absolutely no sense to come to you until they have
especially if you're going to have this project financed. Because the bank is going, that's going to be a critical component mm-hmm. because, and many people make this mistake. And this is why you have the issues. They go to a draft person first, who's not concerned about budget. All he's concerned about is preparing a set of documents, all right, to get paid.
Right.
Most of those draft persons
have to pay. Because this is what I
and
want.
And so person
says,
I want this,
head.
I want that, I want okay. this, and I want these rooms this way, and I want this. And this person designs this $700,000 home for this person, and they only qualify for $200,000.
I was just going to bring that up because I have had so many people come to me and say that they want a house and they have like an $885,000, but they have a plan drawn, like
already
you said,
already drawn.
4,000
right.
square
so
feet.
Exactly.
And then what they do is I say, well, I can't do it for that, and I give them the price that it could be done.
Correct.
And then they come back and they call me and they say, well, I found somebody who will do it for the $185,000.
And have a nice day.
Yeah, I do. And then, but hang on. But what makes it worse is the bank officer accepts that proposal.
Well...
That has nothing to do with you, but I'm just saying these are good things
that industry is now, like I said, mm-hmm. banks have a lot of incompleted projects on their
right.
books.
So hopefully they're smartening up.
And they're now becoming aware, and many of the banks, a lot of the projects, very few, I mean, we do a lot of commercial work, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we do houses as well, but it doesn't matter. If you're seeing the projects are being financed, most of the banks now are becoming sophisticated enough to understand that they're going to need validation of that budget. Okay, so... And they're even cautious on how they allow these projects to go through. Because persons come in and say, oh, well, my brother could build a project, or my cousin, or my auntie. The mm-hmm. banks don't acknowledge discounts. Because if you get into a fight and the person is gone, you're stuck with an incompleted project that your brother or your uncle or your aunt was going to do it, and they can't complete it now. And who's going to come in and finish it at that discount?
Yeah.
So the banks face that challenge, right? So
yeah.
what they're having now is they're saying, okay, when you come in with a budget, they say, let a quantity surveyor. They're now starting to appreciate the value of a quantity surveyor participating in the process. So unfortunately, if an owner makes a mistake, has their process out of whack, and they go to the draft person first, and they didn't explain to them what their limitations were, and the draft person prepared this ridiculous document that they can't afford, and then they go to some untrained builder or someone trying to get it into the industry that doesn't understand it, and they give them this ridiculously low price to build it,
mm-hmm.
which means that, and that may be just the price of the materials, so they're not going to finish it. The bank says, okay, how have you got to this process? All right, let a trained professional review those documents and confirm the cost for that. The minute it does, it eliminates all of the waste.
Correct.
Right? Because they're going to come in and put an appropriate price on the project and say, to build this project, based on industry norms, okay,
rather than trying to meet your quota.
This is what it costs to build this project, and you qualify for this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they may not even insult the person in that. This is a $500,000 house. You qualify for $250,000. You can get this house, but we need $250,000 worth of equity.
Mm.
It's a real discussion, right? Mm. Now, the person may be blue, and they may be angry, and they leave that environment. We got to go to court, right? We're good?
Go ahead, talk.
The person may need to now reevaluate or reassess their drawings, because now they have a set of documents that they can't utilize. Okay, so the right process from us is we develop a program for our clients when they come into our doors, right?
Finish that sentence, and we're going to go to a short break.
Okay, not a problem. Yeah, and I'll walk you through the process after the break as to what was the suggested format that a person should take when they're seeking to get a home built. And if they follow that 9 times out of 10,
they would have the desired result. Need. Thank you so much.
Not a problem.
When your building renovation projects are go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines. Maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
When we started StormFrame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the odd islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
When it comes to insurance and the protection of your investments, experience matters. That's why Bahamians have trusted Insurance Management, your Bahamian-owned brokers and agents, since 1977. Whether it's home, motor, commercial, or contractors all risk, we've got the coverage you're looking for. For everyday protection or your next big project, give us a call today at 394-5555. Insurance Management. Nobody does it better.
Get ready for Stone Oak Bahamas and Bahamas Hotel Catering and Allied Workers Union Home Owners, Builders, and Garden Expo. March 29th and 30th at Mr. Kendall Geologics Gymnasium. Come see how you can walk away with a complete kitchen. There will be over 50 exhibitors and over 30,000 in prizes and giveaways. Sponsored by BOV, Ministry of Housing, Bahamas Contractors Association, Kalina, Abaco Kitchen, Bahamas Real Estate Exchange, and H.G. Christie. You don't want to miss this. Call 815-8818 for more details.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Okay, well, we are back. And what I would like to do is, as you know, this show is not the Debbie and Leonard show. This is the Bahamian Contractors Association show.
Okay.
And
thought it was Leonard's show alone.
No. And but we could not have done this show if we didn't have persons who, you know, appreciated what we were doing and have become sponsors for us. So I just want to read off who they are. I wish I wore my glasses though. Okay, so I'll start from Wosley Construction. We have ARM Caribbean. We have CBS Pro Store. We have ART Development. We have CMEX Bahamas, Stone Oak Bahamas, Storm Frame, Bahamas Safety Solutions, Sandbank Construction, and Insurance Management. And also, Stone Oak. Yeah, I just wanted to mention Stone Oak Bahamas has their event, their builder show, the end of March.
Yes.
And I think it'd be very good after this conversation tonight for persons to actually go and meet with people and see what's out there and have conversations. So thank you very much for sponsoring our show. And if you do want to call today, you could call at 422-4796, powered by BTC. Standard text rights apply. Oh, sorry, that's the text number. My hair is still blonde. 323-6232-325-4259. And Carlos Hepburn, take the stage.
Okay. All right, so right before the break, we were talking a little bit about what's the process with somebody facilitating a project, having a project done by an architect. So generally, for us, our process, and I think this is the way that most professionals they execute this scope, is once a person comes into the office and says that they want to build a home, he's like, okay, so I'll keep it in the context of something simple as a home. We would first of all try to identify what are their dreams, their desires, right? And that's developed in a written document, a program, right? And that's as simple as saying, what do you want in this home? A living room, a dining room, a family room, a kitchen. You know, what do you? Your bed, two bedrooms, three bath, etc. Right? There are a number of things that can
two story,
single mm-hmm. story. Mm-hmm. The architectural language that you'd like, whether it's traditional, modern, colonial, whatever. Persons have their different likes and aspirations. We encourage persons, obviously, to maybe create an ideas book of the things that they like. And so persons would bring in images, you know, before they come in. And then the real question is also, what is your budget, right? And once they have identified their budget, then we take that program apart, right? We allow them to see that and to see whether that budget is realistic, right? For some persons come and they're a little bit more detailed. They come in with the square footage for every room. So they want this space to be 20 by 20, this 15 by 10, this bedroom that by X by Y. And so you literally can come out of that program. You can extrapolate from that program tentatively the size of the project. So let's say if that's a 2,000 square foot home, right? Now, there's a process that we call the tender process, but there's generally a cost of construction, and I'll use square footage just for as a unit rate, just for reference. Okay, that does not really control a cost, and why I say that is you can build a 1,000 square foot home for $1 million, mm-hmm. and you can build a 1,000 square foot home for $100,000. Mm-hmm. Right? It's based on the selections of finishes, construction systems.
Location.
Many different things, mm-hmm. right? That can influence that cost. Persons need to also understand that because I believe people just believe like one cost covers all, right? There are many things that influence that overall budget. And so that's why you have to go through a process of understanding all of those elements, you know, forms of air conditioning system that's going to be utilized to cool and manage ventilation, The type of construction system. There are options out there, whether it's a traditional concrete masonry structure with reinforced wall columns and beams, or an ICF, like an insulated concrete formwork, or M2 system, or a steel frame building. There are a lot of different systems out there, and they have varying costs that influence the construction. So we try to generally just use a mean average cost per square foot against that overall square footage that the person would identify, and then they're able, and that tells you in essence what the cost of this building is going to be, okay? And whether their expectation is realistic. And then we have a conversation now. If in some cases a person, they want this particular project, they may not, that may be outside their budget, but if you go to a professional, an architect who is smart enough, they can, we can design for their growth, right? You can defer certain components of the home, but you could design it, lay it out in a certain way where you can either add on some other areas. So, and that's why it's very important, like from a residential standpoint, to visit with a professional, because we really try and understand the way that you live, what are your needs. You know, some people, they're building this home now, they may just have gotten married. Do you need to build a four-bedroom house right now?
No.
Right? No. Yeah. I mean, they may plan to have two children or three children. But now, you know, why levy yourself with a heavy debt for something that is not guaranteed? All right. Why not look within the context of what you have and or design this project so that it could be scaled up as the need arises, right? And so if that is a limitation for a client, then we have those discussions. How can we assist them with getting to their end goal, all right, with a strategic set of plans. Even if we design the entire project out, there's an understanding that this is going to take place in pieces. So this elephant is going to be eaten piece by piece, right? And most of the clients, they tend to appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And then we also apply budgets to various components of a project. Most people just see a home as the four walls of the building, right? They don't consider the fact that there's site works. Right? That there may be, what other things do you want? There may be a boundary wall. There may be a rails. There may be a fence. Every one of these has costs. Right. There's a driveway. Mm-hmm. There's a dumpster. There's a walkway.
Rain,
there's a swimming
tanks,
pool.
There's a light.
There's other elements that also influence the cost. Right. And so when we sit down, we say, okay, now, and we pull out budgets for each of those items. So someone may come in there and say, I got $200,000. And in their mind, that's a completed house with landscaping and I could just come and turn on the TV. Some people even consider the fact that furniture may cost you 20% of the cost of the project.
Right.
So that's what I was gonna ask, right? When it comes to a drawing, right? There's something called contingencies.
Right.
With an architectural drawing, what is the contingency? What is the contingency? Because I think that'll help a lot of persons if they know you may have it for 200, but budget for 220. Budget for 250.
There's other real things. Contingency is very based on even the project type as well, right? And when I say that, you have persons who may, if it's a brand new project, your contingencies may be low, as much as 10% or little as 10%. We have some clients who come in and they're buying a renovated project. Like right now, we're working with a client who has a existing building, and we've done a lot of renovations. It's like peeling back an onion, okay? It's hard to anticipate. Mm-hmm. So your contingency may need to be 20% or 30%. Because you're dealing with so much unforeseen circumstances, and the older the building may be, and we have come across old buildings too that may have been built well, and then we've come across new buildings that were built poorly that required some structural works and repairs to bring the building to make it good. And persons also don't understand. They may say, well, I'm buying an old building. That should cost me immediately less. Not necessarily, because first of all, we have to make the building good.
Electrical and plumbing.
And then the age of the building might influence it. If the building was built before the introduction of PVC, right? A lot of buildings have galvanized pipes and have galvanized of these that are deeply corroded,
right?
And then you buy this building and you're seeing like the walls appear, like the pipes are pushing out of the walls. Mm. They're corroding in the walls and they're pushing out the walls. So you're going to spend quite a bit of money in just removing infrastructure before you even start new.
You have
to remove it. Then you have to repair the walls, make it good, right? And then you start the new works. And so for some people, they don't understand how a renovation may actually cost them more than a new
building.
And so we're realistic. I'm a realist, right? And I believe in telling people, I always ask people, what do you want to hear? You want to hear what you want to hear or you want to hear the truth?
Right.
If you come to us, we can tell you the truth.
Right.
Now, if you want to, you can go to somebody else who can tell you what you want to hear, and you probably won't get what you want, right?
Yeah. Right.
And so when we're realistic about it, sometimes I've advised clients sometimes it's less expensive to demolish it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
The cost of a D8 or an excavator or a tractor
then to
push it down, gut it, clean the site, start from maybe if the foundation is good. We've even had scenarios where we had to remove foundations, where the foundations were compromised.
Right.
There are a lot of different components that influence a project that may impact that cost. We have a client now that has a challenge where they purchase a renovated building. They did not necessarily have a full evaluation of the building prior to buy it. The building looked like it was technically a good cost, but there was that little lurking issue that was impacting their roof. So I encourage our clients, right? Go and get a professional evaluation before you purchase a project.
Who does that? An engineer? Right. Who does that?
It's based on an architect. Most of the architects are experienced enough to take a look at a building and tell you their concerns and then would advise what other consultants may need to be brought in.
Mm.
Okay, so we would go in and we'd look at the project, and if we see there are some elements, we say, oh, that looks a little bit, maybe we should have a structural engineer evaluate that.
So the architect would do that. Okay.
Yeah. You were going to mention something about comparing a medical operation to your go into that.
Okay, so most people, as a home, or in some cases if it's a commercial building, is their greatest investment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially a residence. For most people buy a car, $50,000, maybe even $100,000 car. Now any reasonable home, middle income house, is going to cost you north of $250,000 in this industry nowadays, right? And the cost of, based on the cost of materials and construction and professionals executing that work, right? So like I say, north of $250,000. For most people, that's their greatest investment, okay? Persons may go to a doctor. Let's say they have an issue that may require some medical procedure. That may not be $250,000. Usually that's considered a real serious condition if you're going to be over 250, right?
Critical,
that's either heart, some heart issue or something, or some
cancer,
significant organ replacement, you know, when you get up there, right? Or cancer or something severe. So an average medical procedure may run in the range of a couple 30,000 or whatever. I can guarantee you 90 to 100% of the persons out there would not take a chance to have a non-licensed person perform that procedure.
Absolutely.
If that was as low as $30,000, 90% to 100% of people are going to go and seek out a professional. I wouldn't even talk about it if it's up to $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
It amazes me how I've seen some projects. I know plenty of persons. You're a builder, so you would have seen. And we call this a bad set of construction documents, right? Where persons are building. They may have qualified for a significant amount of monies. They may qualify for $700,000, but they don't go to a professional to get this work done.
Wow.
They would go to a draftsperson, pay a couple dollars, right? A couple thousand, if that, right? To get some plan to build a major investment, probably the greatest risk of their life, $700,000, all right? And they hire a professional to do it. Worse, some of them even go and get somebody who's not that experienced to build it.
Mm-hmm.
So they take the significant risk, the greatest risk of their life, all right? And they're around there weeding and bargaining to try find some low person or some level of person that's untrained to execute
that's
this,
like
this
flying
investment.
In a, that's like flying in a plane with a pilot
exactly.
who is not licensed.
Exactly. Same right?
Yes.
Yeah, that person sitting on the side
yes.
and the chancellor, you're taking that risk with your life. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just it amazes me when I see situations like that. And so sometimes I guard contractors. Contractors will come and they say, what do you think? And they show me a set of documents. An average set of our plans are going to be, I'm talking about to do a proper, what we call construction documents. Mm-hmm. It isn't going to be a few sheets. It's going to be quite a bit,
right?
To demonstrate that,
right.
Okay? There's so much, and it varies based on the project type, but there's so much information that needs to be provided in order to facilitate that. And that's just the architectural component. That mm-hmm. doesn't include the engineer, mm-hmm. the engineers, the civil engineer, mm-hmm. Who deals with the site work and the drainage and all of the other components of that building.
The risers for electrical.
The structural engineer who's going to deal with the superstructure of that mm-hmm. building. That's mm-hmm. that's the real skeleton of the body. Right, mm-hmm. I always reference it somewhat to the human body, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the mechanical, electrical, and plumbing consultant or engineer who deals with the drainage, right? A building is so much like the human body; it's amazing, right? Because we have the superstructure, which is the skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
You have the internal organs, which is the mechanical, the ventilation. You got mm-hmm. lungs. You
mm-hmm.
got ventilation in a building. You have air conditioning, which keeps the building cool. You have which is like the skin, okay? Which allows the body to breathe.
Lymphatic
right?
drainage.
You got all your drainage, your heart. So you know, mechanical, you got the electrical component, which is your heart and
mm-hmm.
and all of your components that what do they call it, the points that
nerves
that, the nerves, right? So that's the electrical component, all right? And then you have the plumbing, right? That's your urinary and your waste, because
mm-hmm.
a building has,
yeah.
has
let out
plumbing
waste,
coming
yeah.
in, right? And then it has waste that has to go somewhere.
Yeah.
All of that has to be considered.
Absolutely.
And
great
we
analogy.
Haven't even touched on the whole green concept.
No. Right.
Whether
right.
not that the building is also, that the building has to be constructed. Is the building sensitive to the
environment?
Is it a green building?
Right.
Right. Those are the things that, you know, the average draftsperson is not concerned about that. An architect is trained, he understands the impact of a building to the environment and how we can design the building to be more environmentally friendly and
wow.
also so that the building is also clean, right? Mm. Some buildings make people sick.
Right.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
The buildings, either the mechanical system has
right.
mold
right.
and mildew and all these other things
fiberglass.
That's in the buildings. The specifications from the materials have off gassing,
fiberglass.
All right, that are releasing the
mm-hmm.
selection of finishes are releasing. And so, you know, people like that new car smell.
Yeah.
Right? And like the new paint smell. That's not good.
Mm.
In the industry, we call that off-gassing.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. When you walk in your building and you smell that, that means that's releasing volatile organic compounds into the air and you're breathing that.
And there's so many zero emissions paint that you can actually buy here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so some of the newer suppliers
mm-hmm.
acknowledge this. And
right.
so they would specify low VOC
mm-hmm.
project
yeah.
products.
Mm-hmm.
And when you use those, you may go into the room and you say, this person freshly painted room, but I barely smell the paint.
Right.
That means it's a good quality paint and the VOCs are very low.
Right.
Yeah,
like you shouldn't smell the furniture. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Or even smell that new car smell. That's volatile.
But people like
compounds.
That. People
yeah,
like
but
because
they believe
like
that I get new because they don't understand what it's doing to them.
Wow.
Right? And so
that's
the
new.
Professional understands this. And so
right.
when we go through our specifications, we specify, we take those things into consideration during the specifications of our finishes in the
wow.
project. We look
mm-hmm.
at those things, right? Now, so I want to finish the process. So as we go through the program to identify that person's aspirations or their desires, have an understanding of their budget, then if we can have a meeting of the minds and we all agree, okay, this is the budget that we want to utilize, then we move to the design phase where we actually take that written document and convert that into a graphical one, one that a person
right.
could visually see.
And we will go into that after the break.
Okay.
Okay? That's a perfect segue. Thank you so much for that. Appreciate
right.
it.
Yeah,
we'll
no
be
problem.
Right back.
All right, there you go.
When it comes to insurance and the protection of your investments, experience matters. That's why Bahamians have trusted Insurance Management, your Bahamian-owned brokers and agents, since 1977. Whether it's home, motor, commercial, or contractors all risk, we've got the coverage you're looking for. for everyday protection or your next big project. Give us a call today at 394-5555. Insurance Management. Nobody does it better.
But a sickness, war, and crack, and they just build this house.
Pay now, pay more later.
Your wall crack up. Because I rot in steel.
I guarantee fiber steel, Jack.
No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel. Steel pussy get protection from nasty men. But the sand that they use of salt and lead. And then over time, you start to rotten. And just like a flower wall crack open, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh?
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or 822-9527. Or visit our Facebook and IG page at Our Development BFRP. Listen, say goodbye to rust and a crack of water. Call now.
No steel, no big deal.
Get ready for Stone Oak Bahamas and Bahamas Hotel Catering and Allied Workers Union Home Owners, Builders, and Garden Expo. March 29th and 30th at the Sir Kendall Geologics Gymnasium. Come see how you can walk away with a complete kitchen. There will be over 50 exhibitors and over 30,000 in prizes and giveaways. Sponsored by BOP, Ministry of Housing, Bahamas Contractors Association, Kalina, Abaco Kitchen, Bahamas Real Estate Exchange, and H.G. Christie. You don't want to miss this. Call 815-8818 for more details.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines. Maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
When your building renovation projects are go, go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
Okay, we are back. So, Carlos, you were in the middle of a conversation, and you were going to... don't be blonde and forget it. And make me tell you what it was. Come on, don't do that to me.
We were going through... basically, the architecture service is a five-phase process. Okay. It's really not that difficult. Mm-hmm. You can remember five phases, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, the programming is usually a part of the initial interview and evaluation, mm-hmm. right? Then you have the design phase, which is usually phase one, right?
Let me ask you about the design phase. Mm-hmm. While you're on phase one, the back and forth for the design phase, while you're there, how many times would you go back and forth?
Depends on how much money you got.
That's correct. Okay. And that's why we try to be as efficient as possible during that interview phase, mm-hmm. To avoid you having to do a lot of back
interview
and forth.
Phase. Okay.
If we over the years we've just been better equipped at being able to really evaluate what a client may want. Okay, and that's why I say the ideas book sometimes help them a lot. Because most people, like I say, they visualize what they may want, and to describe that to you is obviously then now you're gonna go around the Milbury bush trying to generate what you think they may be trying to get at. But often if they see it, they know what they want, right? They can do that. And then, so we're now at least on the road, the right road,
the interview stage.
In that direction during mm-hmm. that interview stage and through that documentation that they provide for us to say, okay, this where they want to go. Now, we may not necessarily, some persons come and they have a document that they may have pulled off the internet or something and they say, I want to do that. Unfortunately, we don't just reproduce those documents like that. We do custom designs, right? Mm-hmm. And so we prefer to evaluate the project, really evaluate that person's needs, because everybody needs are different. the thing that we often bring to our clients' attention is when you pull something off the internet, that was usually designed as either a generic design or it was designed for someone else's lifestyle.
And probably not right? designed for living in the Bahamas.
Often. That's true, too, because we get those projects
family
too,
islands.
That don't encourage cross-ventilation, right? And so now you're going to end up in a building where you may have to burn energy or you just don't understand why the building is very hot or where the windows are placed and when the sun is there or when the sun sets in the evening, maybe a space that you're in during after you already knock off from work and you're sitting in this room and you say, I hate this room every afternoon because the room really should have been on maybe the other side of the home when you came home so that you could actually go out and enjoy yourself. But this is when the western sun is beaming on that room and you like, I can't understand it.
It's
and
true.
So you and people and love this, right? Because the home is
what
just
what do you come
poor.
With? No, what do you come with?
It's poor. Like, you don't have to, you don't have, you come with what we call it is the components of the building, right? These are the pieces that go together. The architect is equipped and skilled at putting those pieces together based on all of the other things that influence it. So we have something what we call a site context, right? We look at the site, they evaluate the buildings that surround it, the way that the site is laid out.
The solar
angle, the way that the sun rotates. We get clients who come in, and if it's going to be a green project, we interview. Do you want to introduce solar someday?
Right.
So now we want to design the house so that you can get the most maybe roof
Southwest
coverage area
roof.
So that you get the maximum
Southwest.
Of sun exposure and you get the most energy.
Mm-hmm.
So that requires sometimes moving these components around to give you the best site placement, all right, so that you get an efficient home and you enjoy it. And then how do you think? You know, people just design these homes that don't work for their lifestyle. How many people have houses and never use their entrance door?
Man,
90% of people, they come into the garage, right? They come into the side kitchen door and they never use this, right?
We have two neighbors in our neighborhood that have now bougainvillea that grows over the entrance so that you can't even get in. It looks pretty.
Yeah, right.
They
might as well put the deadbolts there.
What I'm asking, Carlos, is the fact that he said, come with some idea, right? So the person brings their idea.
So what
right?
makes, when they say the ideas, it's the components.
Okay.
The components. So, like,
I went
through those elements, right? A bedroom.
Right.
I don't mean where the bedroom falls in the context of the house. So you got a bedroom, you got a bathroom, you got a living room, you got a dining room. We're making up. You got 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 items now that we need to fix into a box that is that budget. So if you could imagine a little thing with little squares in it, and every one of those squares have a size with a cost, all right, and we need to fix that into something that has an overall number attached to it, inclusive of all the things outside of that, a swimming pool, a wall,
other
things that's outside there, all those other elements that also will influence the cost, right? That's the elements that make it up. How they put together, the architect is the skilled person who is able to place that based on that, and then I need to understand your life. Right? And I need to ask you, okay, so how do you perform? How many children you have? When people explain, how do you do, some people are soccer moms. They need a mudroom. Their children play sports, their children think they come
some
home with dirty boots and all this stuff, and they need to have a mudroom, and they're going to come, when they come home, they pull into the garage, the children kick off all of their stuff in the mudroom, all right? And then they come into the house. All right. And if you don't have that, you drag all that mud in your place and you're frustrated. The house doesn't perform well. Right. How
some
do you
people,
get up in the morning?
Yeah. Sorry. Some people entertain. So they like to have a nice big island not only for cooking, but for having hors d'oeuvres and drinks and everything there. So, I mean,
some people are family oriented.
Yeah.
So this first phase could take this first stage, like you say, when they come into the design or whatever, that could take a while before you even get to the second stage. We go through
an initial evaluation, and usually that's for an hour.
You better get on Pinterest as quickly as possible.
No, that's what I tell her, Debbie. That's why I got on Pinterest. Yeah. I got all kind of apps, red zone.
Exactly.
I have 10,000.
Yeah, yeah. No,
now you just shut that down.
Usually the original hour is really just identify the scope and to then, in essence, put a budget for the cost for what our design service or what our architectural services may be. But then after that, during the design process is where we really need to go through the evaluation, really pull out and extrapolate what the owner wants and understand, like I say, homes are a lot more complex than unfortunately, people don't have the same type of budget as a commercial project, but they actually are much more time consuming.
What is the second? What is the second phase?
So after we've been able to really get all of this information, so we have all, in essence, it's like a data gathering process. Mm-hmm. We have all this data now that we have, and now we need to organize this data in a graphical form so that this person can understand and that this works best for them. And so when we do that, they're able to now visualize this. Okay, this is where the garage is. This is where the powder room is. This is where the pantry is and the kitchen and the relationship to each other. This is how my other elements in my home would come out, and this is how I would in essence enjoy my space. And then we develop those. We use 3D software as a part of our design process, so they're able to graphically see that. Many people can't appreciate buildings in 2D. Before, a lot of architects were just limited to showing things in plan, as we would call it. That's, and a plan really means that you're seeing it as if you were up above looking down. Like a bird's eye view. All right. But now you're not limited to that. As we lay out the buildings, we're able to turn the buildings. You can see those. You can see the rooms and you can see the spaces. We can do walkthroughs. You can get into the space. You know, we even have virtual reality benefits now because we design and model. You can put on the virtual reality glasses and take you into the space.
The VR.
Yeah, you can use the VR. You go into the space, right? So there's many different elements. I mean, we can even throw music and sometimes you put the people in there too. Anyway. But you know what I'm saying is you can get a rendition of how close this building would look in what we call photorealistic renderings,
right,
sufficiently enough that a person could really appreciate what that building may look like at the end of the day, right? And so usually that schematic phase is that portion. And if we did our initial homework properly, most of the times we're very close. We may not be like spot on, but usually that, and that's where we go to the next phase, which is the design development phase, which is really just taking those elements as presented in that schematic phase, maybe tweaking that based on now a owner seeing it and visualizing it. And they say, okay, well, maybe I need this here, or could this room be a little bit larger, or can I open this space, or whatever the case may be. And like I say, there are many things that influence it that you may, you know, we had a client at one point, a thing where she said her husband likes fish, but she can't stand the smell of fish. So, you know, 90% of people now, this new wave design is open concept, right? Open
kitchen. She wants a closed kitchen.
Open living room, open dining room. So every time you see, that's why it's important you do this homework in the front end to understand what they want. Right. Because something as simple as that, she says, and she say, as my husband, I live in him, but he loves fish. So she says, the problem with the fish is when I cook fish, it stinks, it takes over the whole house. So anybody who comes into the thing, they're going to smell it. So she wanted an enclosed kitchen,
right?
Which may not be the norm for the trend nowadays, but for her, that was influenced by her lifestyle, her husband, and influence of that on it. So those are the things that I talk about when we're doing that data process, okay? So after the design phase, then we go to the design development phase, like I say, where we tweak, and then we go to the construction document phase.
Right.
And that is really where we produce the documents that is going to really establish the cost of the building. That's when we get into the weeds. That's when we're putting a lot of the nuts and the bolts on that building. That's when you're identifying your floor finishes, your wall finishes, your tiles, your lighting layouts, your everything, right? Your specifications of your hardware, your doors, your crown moldings, your baseboards, all of these elements that make up that finished component is detailed during that construction document. And these all influence and usually has a client involvement. Because you may not want tiles all the way to the ceiling. You may want tiles halfway, or you may want tiles only at the shower, right? You know, people have different likes. You may want a mirror a particular way. We have an interior designer, too, that works with the clients. And so we can even take that to the next level outside of just specifying a basic manufacturer, where we could create visuals of all of the elements and how that really comes together along with furniture. How the space would really look completed, right? And so all of these are the elements that the services that an architect can produce. But that construction document package is what is vital for your contractor. That is what really builds that budget and determines whether that project, that 1,000 square foot house, is going to cost you $1 million or going to cost you $100,000.
Absolutely. Right?
Because you, during that phase, owners now establish budgets, and that's where things become real for them also. Because now we need to pick all the plumbing fixtures.
Right.
So now when they go through, you want American standard, you want Kohler, you want this, you want that. People got dreams. When they go through this process and they pick all these things, then they realize, wow, $15,000 for plumbing fixtures.
Right.
Yeah. And it adds up. Right. You got a $3,000 tub.
You got a $500 toilet. You got these elements. Now, see, and this makes it easy for the contractor. He doesn't have to. He's not involved. We're not even talking to him yet, you know.
Right. Yeah.
This is just the architect just building out the spec document for the owner and establishing their budget, and they're selecting all of these finishes that's going to contribute to the cost of their building. And so at the completion of that process, we have a written document. We have design drawings, and this written document is a supplement to those drawings. And we then go to the next phase of our work, which is the bidding and negotiation phase, or the tender process.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, no, that's...
I need to go wash cars. I can't afford what I want to
do. You see why architects charge what they do.
No.
I need to go
start a car wash. No, but do you see how that eliminates almost every one of the people who have called in with problems, and the reason that they've, you know, walked away from jobs, is there was no detail.
Correct.
You are trying to, in your brain, you're trying to understand what I want, right? Mm-hmm. You're the builder, and I'm the customer, and you're trying to understand what I want, and you're just going to say, if it depends on what kind of a builder you are, you might say, oh, they're not going to notice if this is this. They're not going to notice if this is this, right?
Yep. Wow.
And so truthfully, mm-hmm. what I do is I make sure I clean the job, because when I clean the job, I see every flaw. Mm-hmm. I don't want a punch list from anybody.
Right.
So I make sure that that's done. A lot of people don't care.
Right.
Wow. You know,
they really don't care.
But you're cleaning the job, that's just good practice, right? That's good practice. But that doesn't detail what is selected.
That can
come back and bite you if, in essence, you were trying to hide. Some people leave that job dirty for a reason, because you may not want the owner to realize that you're kind of slipping in a molding that they didn't want, or something cheap or inexpensive, right?
Yeah.
And so when the project is running in chaos, they can't appreciate that. But most of the times, they may not realize what they've gotten until the project is almost done, you know?
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah.
You know, those things influence it. But, you know, after when we get to the bidding and negotiation phase is when we take that document, we may identify competent contractors, persons with skills and abilities with a project of this type. Like I say, we call it types because buildings are different types. You have industrial buildings. You have, this is a radio station. This is,
right.
You have certain elements that are unique to this building, right? Unique to a residence, right? Some people are better at residential projects than they are maybe at commercial projects. Commercial mm-hmm. projects have different elements
right.
and requirements. And mm-hmm. so based on the project type, we would usually make recommendations of contractors that we've worked with experience in that particular field. If a owner says, oh, well, I have a contractor that I may want to utilize that I know that may do good work, we may interview that person
mm-hmm.
or vet them for the client. And then if they qualify, then we invite them to submit a bid mm-hmm. on the construction document. And usually there's a certain period of time grant given for that process. And then at the receipt of those documents, we then do an evaluation mm-hmm. and make a recommendation to the owner as who we feel may be the contractor. They don't always have to use the least expensive bid, okay? So, and our recommendation may not always be on the least expensive,
mm-hmm.
but there may be other things that may influence why we may select a contractor. But we make that recommendation, then it's up to the owner to then make the final decision.
Well, we have to have you back on again.
Got to.
All right.
This was amazing. This was amazing. And after the show, we get the calls. That was a great show. This was amazing. I didn't know that kind of stuff. So thank you so much for taking the time to come here. But because we had to speed you through that, we just might have to ask you to take another Thursday sometime when you
none
get a chance. So
yeah,
I really appreciate you coming on and everybody out there in the listening
duty.
Audience.
It's my civic duty and my responsibility to the profession.
Good
all
for
right,
you.
To provide as much information as
yeah,
possible. Yeah,
we so appreciate that. And thank you so much. You really added another dimension to our radio show.
Excellent. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Good night, Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.